Visiting today with Dr. Brian Whitaker. He's a professor at OSU, and he's been telling us the ins and outs of rural broadband. And man, what a hot topic that is right now.
Yes, thanks, Casey. It is a hot topic. The presentation I gave today kind of showed that rural Oklahoma does lag behind the national averages in both availability of broadband and adoption of broadband, and both are clearly important for improving small business, improving agricultural productivity, a whole host of things.
Well, tell us a little bit about the relationship between internet access and rural broadband and why it's so important.
Well, sure. COVID-19, I think, made clear why broadband is important. If you've got students at home, you know, have to be at home and can't be part of a virtual classroom. If you've got people who are away from work and can't telework because they don't have a good connection, that's absolutely going to hurt your income levels. Going to hurt your overall productivity, your county. It absolutely has a relationship with the economy.
And you mentioned, we were talking a little bit about some funds are coming down for each county for broadband. And I know there's some money nationwide also coming down. So you were telling everybody it's important to actually talk to people that can help you get that. Is that what they're supposed to do?
Yes, absolutely. So the point I made is that every county in Oklahoma is going to get some local coronavirus relief funds. And that money is specifically to be used for infrastructure projects. And I always make the case that broadband is an important part of that. There's other infrastructure too, but we know broadband is important. So yes, the county commissioners are the ones who are going to distribute or decide how these funds are spent. And so I encourage people to talk to their county commissioners. I gave some ways for people to check up their own broadband situation, what's available to them, and make the argument if it's a problem in your county, hey, let's spend some of those funds on improving our broadband situation.
Let's talk a little bit about the differences in internet, because you were talking about there's mobile internet, there's fiber internet. Back in the olden days, we had the dial-up modem, but we've advanced a little bit, right?
Yeah, that's why I always kind of make fun. You know, my students don't even know what a 56K modem sounds like anymore. So yes, you know, a lot of people use their cell phone for internet, and that's all they have. And if that's your situation, it's certainly understandable. But there's a difference between, you know, filling out a resume on your smartphone and doing it on a computer and filling out a PDF form. And so there are limits to what you can do from a mobile with a mobile smartphone connection. So we kind of make the argument that, you know, where we're going, you're going to need more speeds. You're going to be doing things like Zoom calls, uploading files, YouTube videos. You need more speed. And so fiber is kind of the gold standard for broadband access. And so a lot of people are pushing for fiber connectivity, especially with all this money coming down the road. So there is a difference between a fixed connection, which is what a fiber or cable connection would be, and a mobile connection, which is what most people have through their smartphone.
Why are some of the rural communities, I noticed your maps up there, why are some doing so well in this that you wouldn't really even gather that would be doing well, like you mentioned in the panhandle, and then some doing so poor?
Yeah, a lot of that really comes down to the relationship of the providers with those communities. There are some, like out in the panhandle, you know, you've got Panhandle Telephone, who has very deep relationships with their constituents, and they invested in fiber, you know, relatively early on, and it really does come down to, you know, how invested they are in the community, what they want to be able to do. They're not always making a return on those investments. In some places, it's not economically feasible to go in and lay miles and miles of fiber, and you only have, you know, a couple hundred households. So it really does come down to the economics of the situation, and then what your relationship is like with those local providers.
Well, mobile versus high connectivity. Tell me about this. We talked a little bit about it, but if you're one of those folks that can only use your phone, you mentioned there's also some options like hotspots, but that's kind of limiting.
Yeah, so most people, you can make your phone into a hotspot in most cases. That means you're just using that cellular data and you're sharing your connectivity with others. And so what we've tried to do at OSU, we have a program where we go out and partner with local libraries, and they loan out hotspots with unlimited data. And so those people can then go, those library patrons can go grab a hotspot from the library, take it home with them, take it on the road with them, and then share that data with their friends and family for the week that they have the device.
And that's a really cool program that you mentioned. You were also telling us a little bit about the EBB program.
Yes, brand new program. It's called the Emergency Broadband Benefit. And basically, for most households in Oklahoma that qualify, you can get $75 a month towards your broadband bill. And, you know, these are mostly for low-income households, people that have children on free and reduced lunch. But there's a whole host of ways you can qualify. But if you do, your provider for your internet connection is going to get a check from the federal government for $50 to $75 every month that is going to save you some serious money. So I would encourage people that are eligible to apply for it.
Yeah, because you mentioned there is a relationship from the lack of internet. You know, it's a money issue for some folks.
Yeah, you know, I think the data show that about 72% of rural Oklahomans have broadband available to them. But even those people that have it available to them, not everyone signs up. Mm-hmm. And the main reason they don't sign up, if you ask them, is for cost. Some people simply can't afford $50, $75, $80 a month for a broadband connection when you've got other bills to pay. And so this program is really trying to be to address that situation and help those people that need some help with paying for their broadband.
If they'd like to look into that program, what's the easiest way to get our listeners hooked up with that?
Sure. So if you're already on the internet, you can go to getemergencybroadband, I think it's .org. And then if you're not on the internet, they do have paper applications, and you can actually call someone and talk to them. I would encourage people to talk to their local county extension educator. If they're not familiar with the program, they'll get in touch with me, I'm sure, and I can absolutely walk them through that process.
Well, Brian, thank you so much for visiting with us. You had such great information, because I feel like a lot of people, you know, they know it's a problem, but they don't know what they're supposed to do next.
Right. Thank you, Casey. I appreciate that. There is something you can do. I encourage people here to look up their local situation in terms of both availability and adoption and talk to people about these programs that are available and this money that is coming down the pipe specifically for broadband.
Yeah, because you mentioned adoption is part of the problem. Like, we need more folks to be involved.
Yeah, that's my big thing. You know, historically, all the money has gone to let's just get infrastructure out there. But my research has shown it's not just the availability. It's getting people to adopt and productively use it for things like ag and small businesses. And so that's really what I'm trying to push.
Well, Brian, thank you so much. Great information.
Thank you, Casey. Appreciate your time.